Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Charles Schunk, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Alcott and Father Raymond Snyder. Let's begin, as always, with a prayer to Our Lady. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we thought we'd talk about something that we are experts on, which is the vocation of the laity.
I think you're being sarcastic, Father Charles.
Just a little bit. We thought, you know, this might actually be a valuable topic from the perspective of a priest, in the sense that lay people might appreciate knowing what we see as particularly distinctive or valuable about their vocation and the way that it builds up the church. So, you know, as priests, we spend our time ministering pretty much nonstop, and we notice that oftentimes we notice that lay people can minister in ways that we can't. You know, faithful Catholic lay people can go places and do things that we just simply can't by virtue of our state in life. And what I mean by that, I'll just illustrate it with a little story. My mother volunteers at a hospital as a pastoral care chaplain, volunteer, and she brings communion to the sick at Christ Hospital in Cincinnati, and she can go into someone's hospital room, and people warm up to her immediately. Well, you have to know my mom. If you do, then you're probably laughing right now. But, you know, she has this ability to just, you know, everyone loves her almost immediately, right? And whereas, occasionally a priest will go into a hospital room wearing the collar or even the habit, and it does happen occasionally that people will simply hold up their hand in denial, right? Do not come near me. Right, because you represent something scary. So you see how, you know, someone like my mother can reach people in a very non-threatening way, whereas in a way that I as a priest simply don't have the ability to do. You know, so that's just kind of an entree into the topic. Father Stephen, Father Raymond, how do you notice lay people really, leavening the church?
First of all, I like that story a great deal, and I do know your mother, and I was trying to see this as an extended look, Mom, I'm on the radio kind of acknowledgement. So I, in particular, what comes to mind most directly, for instance, is those who are acting as sponsors in RCIA, for instance. And, you know, our RCIA program at St. Patrick, I'm the priest, I'm generally overseeing everything involved with it, I'm teaching the classes, but there are just simply a number of things that I can't do because I don't have the time, but also things that I just can't do because that's not really my role. And this is where I see the real genius and meaning of having sponsorship in RCIA, because when someone's becoming Catholic, there's so many questions they have. There's so many things about their life they need to consider and begin to make good habits and all these sorts of things. And they need someone they can just have an instant kind of recourse to, a first recourse to, and also someone who can really encourage them, you know, someone who they can build up a good spiritual friendship with. And, you know, so my role as a priest is, yes, to oversee everything, to teach, to be available when people need individual kind of deeper conversations. But at the same time, the constant guides, you know, walking hand in hand with them on the journey are really more of the RCIA sponsors. That's why I think one of the great things, you know, when folks are always coming to us as priests, you know, and saying, I'd like to get involved somehow more in the church. You know, I have a little bit more time on my hands. Maybe these are folks whose children have just left the house and college and all of that. Maybe they're saying, I really have this desire. But I often think people are really articulating an inspiration on their heart to do something for the church, so to speak, to build up the kingdom of God. And turns out those are things that are often really just a part of their life already, that are not that far. They're under their nose, you know, but to undertake them in a new mode in the name of Christ and as an act of charity is what they're really called to.
Mm-hmm. For me, one thing that immediately comes to mind, we just invited some new members on to our pastoral council at St. Patrick, also our finance council, and it's a huge help to me to be able to talk to people who are our parishioners who experience life from sitting in the pews on Sunday. You know, what? How does this strike you? You know, what's a good response to this? You know, what's a good, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Recently, our pastoral council helped us to come up with a wonderful way of kind of responding to some of the scandals that have been in the news about the priesthood and abuse. And it was really good because as a priest, I certainly experience these things from one perspective, but I don't always know how does it affect people who are going to church, you know, and they helped us come up with a really great way to respond. That's just one among very many examples. Another example is to ask them, well, what is it like to come into the parish? You know, what is it about coming into our church that makes sense or welcoming? What are things that kind of can put you off a little bit? Just not out of, you know, any kind of ill will, but just out of not thinking about what it's like to be new. You know, what was it like for you to come into the parish? You know, or what is it like to try to get involved in something? You know, those things that as a priest, you live and breathe this every day. And so it helps to have the view of someone else to truly think of that. Just those basic things. And of course, just people that are willing to invite people to come to Mass, to welcome them when they come, to lend them a book that they read, to encourage them, you know, to say, hey, I'm going to confession. You want to come along? You know, those kinds of things that might seem little, but they can make a radical change in someone's life.
Yeah. I like what you said, Father Raymond, about oftentimes it's right under your nose, you know, and what is right under your nose?
Our mustache.
the ways in which you can be a leaven to the church and to society as a Catholic Christian are right under your nose, right? So it doesn't necessarily involve, usually doesn't involve any kind of, extraordinary project or, any kind of extraordinary action. It's just doing what you do day in, day out in Christ, for Christ, out of love, right? And, you know, that is certainly true for those of us in the priestly life as well. I think most of the work, the real fruit of our work is things we never realize. You know, it's just we were doing our job that day and God worked through us, right? So I wouldn't want to give anyone the impression who's listening today that this is a call to arms, you know, in the sense that you have to do something extraordinary, you know. Mm-hmm. No, you do the ordinary with extraordinary love. And Yeah, so I just wanted to kind of get that in there.
Well, I think that's just it, that disposition and the way in which the heart is engaged in actions is so important. So there is a real, you know, we've been talking almost practically speaking, where is it nice to have the help, or where do we see folks most at work? I think another way to see it is, what is the real spiritual grounding to the vocation of the laity to restore all things in Christ, to go to the secular sphere and to bring it to Christ? Well, it's grounded in their baptism, first and foremost. We all, I think, need to understand the richness of our baptism more and more. That's why, you know, baptism is a sacrament, only happens once for each of us, but we have these moments. Even the dipping your fingers in the holy water is a small recollection of your baptism. All of those times throughout the year when we're invited to renew our baptismal promises, or when we're, for instance, at the baptism of an infant, we also renew our own baptismal promises.
And even though it only happens once, it's always with us. It confers an indelible character, as the theologians say, you know, that's constantly working, you know.
It's a renewable resource.
Renewable resource, that's right, yes.
A constant font of grace, which is, you know, one way to see why it's not necessary to do more than once, why it's not allowed to do more than once. It wouldn't make sense to be rebaptized, you know. But really, our what does baptism do? But it confers that a true Christian character to our actions, we hope. You know, it's the wellspring of bringing a spiritual character to, yes, even the ordinary occupations of daily life.
You're listening to The Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Charles Schunk, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Alcott and Father Raymond Snyder. And we've been discussing the role of the laity, the vocation of the laity in the Church, from our perspective as priests. We were just talking about the sacramental foundation, of course, of all of our vocations as Christians, is baptism. And this reminds me of something that I was very struck by, that Pope Benedict said. I believe it was Pope Benedict. He said that baptism is the greatest and most significant sacrament I have ever received. Right? So this is the Pope. Right? He's telling us, each and every one of us, that baptism is something I share with all of you, right? And it's the greatest and most significant sacrament I've ever received. That's powerful, you know, to realize that we have been empowered in baptism to go forth and witness in a way that is proper to our state in life. We've been given the power, you might say, spiritual power. You can think of that. Theologians talk about the way in which baptism configures us to Christ in his threefold office as priest, prophet, and king. So this is one way of kind of thinking about how I can live out my vocation as a baptized Christian in these three different ways: priest, prophet, and king. So maybe we could just say a few words about each one of those for our listeners, and how that might manifest in their vocation as a layperson.
I think the key word in all of those is participation, that we participate in Christ's office. And that is where it might strike folks ears is odd to hear, I participate in Christ's priesthood. Well, the priesthood, that's this thing that these specialists do, you know, that's a different vocation. But all of us are, you know, we are a priestly people in Christ. And I think first and foremost, that means that, you know, what does baptism give us? But the ability to worship God in spirit and truth, the ability to be true worshipers of God, to be joined to Christ's priestly actions of salvation, to be able to go to Mass and to assist, meaning not assist in the terms of getting up and doing all kinds of things, although that's very important too, but most importantly, to offer our hearts on the altar there every Sunday, to give ourselves over to the sacrifice our Lord accomplishes. I think that's where we see the baptismal priesthood, thriving. It's when people are spiritually engaged in the Mass. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just, priests by their nature offer sacrifice. In the Old Testament, that's primarily what priests did. If you came to the temple, it would be the priest who would, take your lamb or your dove or your bull and sacrifice it, help in the sacrifice. And so we, the priesthood of Jesus Christ and, the ordained priesthood, we offer Christ himself as the Lamb of God. But all the people, all the people of God, can offer sacrifice to God. And I see that in powerful ways when I see people, especially who are suffering and who offer their sufferings, offer their sacrifices to God on behalf of others, sometimes in very hidden ways, sometimes in ways that other people may end up seeing. But everyone can offer sacrifice. Everyone can offer prayer. And sometimes those sacrifices are in some ways perhaps, very difficult, but it can be very powerful. I mean, I think in the scriptures, we had the widow, who offered her two small coins. Mm. In a way, there are many other offerings, but Christ highlighted that. He said she's given more than everyone else because she's given all that she has. And I think that's an example of the priesthood, of the baptismal priesthood. Mm-hmm. We offer sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what my favorite moment on Sunday is? Well, okay, I have to say the Mass itself, okay, just because I don't want to sound impious here, but maybe aesthetically, my favorite moment, after that, is that moment after the noon Mass when kind of everyone's left, but the incense from the two Masses, from the 10:30 and the noon Mass, is just dense, dense incense.
Yes,
in the church. And it's lingering there, and it's right around the time the afternoon sun's hitting the stained glass windows. And so we walk through what, the lights aren't on. We walk through, cleaning up or, locking up, and you just see that incense kind of almost symbolic of all of the prayers of the people prayed in the church that morning with all of the concerns on their hearts.
Sweet-smelling incense.
Sweet-smelling incense.
Yes. And,
I forgot one thing about that. The priestly office, especially with those who are married and raising children, the church points to the rearing, the procreation, education of children as a priestly work of those who are, as it were, consecrated through marriage. I forgot to mention that's a neat way in which we see that's a truly priestly work, a holy and difficult and awesome work.
Right. And the other job of a priest, which is joined to his work in offering sacrifice, is mediating between God and men. And, of course, we opened the show by talking about how lay people can do that in a way that ordained priests can't, mediate, bring people to Jesus in a very non-threatening way, So just so we touch on prophet and king, obviously the office of prophet is witnessing to the truth. And this is, obviously lay people can do this. And, so many times as a priest, as priests, we basically minister to the faithful, right? We don't have a whole lot of opportunity to minister to the unchurched or the secular people in secular society. And when we try, we're often just dismissed out of hand. Well, of course, that's what you'd say. You're a priest, right?
As you put it recently, don't forget we're a different species.
Yeah. Right.
People's minds.
Right, exactly, yeah. Which can be a little frustrating, But, lay people don't have that handicap, when a faithful Catholic layperson witnesses to the beauty of the Church's teaching on marriage and sexuality, or their own experience using natural family planning. Obviously, this has a credibility and a power, that all the theological refinements and philosophical refinements that we could offer just doesn't, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, as a layperson, you can be a prophet, you know, and sometimes that's just as simple as, I always caution people against trying to prophesy by getting into arguments. You know, that's usually not a very effective way of witnessing to the truth. No, you just witness, you know, this is what I think, this is what I believe, and
here's what it's doing for me. And
exactly,
I think that's the main, you might say, catalyst for a lot of people. You know, people often will come to us as priests and say, well, I wish I knew how to explain the faith better, and or where to begin, you know, with someone, family member, friend who's not Catholic or who's against the church's teaching, whatever. And you would say, well, begin with what you love, you know. Mm. Show them how your Catholic faith changes your life, how it's really the bedrock of your life, how you need it, you know. Show them that, you know, you have a hunger that's been satisfied, and that their hunger, though they think they're going to find the satisfaction for it in other places, will really only be found in God. Yeah, that prophetic office. And I think that's where we make the distinction between baptism and confirmation. Baptism gives us the ability to believe and confess the faith, and confirmation especially gives us that ability to convey and to witness publicly to our faith. So they go together and are strengthened. And, you know, confirmation strengthens that original prophetic grace of baptism.
Yeah.
Yeah, and along with being in the office of Christ as prophet, to rather than arguing, just to give your history. You know, if you set up a debate proposition, you know, you're off to the races, you know, and no one wants to lose. But no one can really debate your own history. You know, you may, and that kind of can relieve a lot of your worries about, well, I'm not a trained theologian, you know, who am I to share the faith with someone else? You know, you don't have to be, but you can just tell them, like, this is what my history has been, you know, this is where I was, this is what happened, this is where I am now, you know, and this helps explain where I am today, you know, and just share that in a very humble way. Say, I don't know if this is going to be your exact experience, but this is what's been my experience, you know, and in a way that takes it out of debate mode. It brings it into just, and you're also disclosing something of yourself that might invite that person to disclose something of themselves, you know, and then you have a real level of trust where witness and evangelization can take place.
Yeah. Sometimes being a trained theologian is a liability in witnessing to the faith, paradoxically. So just to say a word about the royal or kingly office into which baptism, in which we share by virtue of baptism.
And I think this is the strangest sounding one. You know, how often do we get people to really think about the fact they participate in Christ's kingship?
Yes. It is a little strange, off-putting perhaps, but, you know, remember that the way in which Jesus exercised authority over and over in the scriptures, again, in the scriptures, he exhorted his apostles, right? Was by washing each other's feet, right? This is the primary way in which we exercise our authority, and we do have real authority, you know, given to us by baptism. You know, that's something that people talk about, the infallibility of the church. Well, that applies to you too. You know, when you speak, you know, a truth of the faith, you are speaking with the authority, right? Not with the authority of Christ, really, not your own authority.
I love that category, the sensus fidei, and it sounds cool when you say it in Latin, as we know, right? the supernatural sense of the faith refers to the consonants, the congruence, the harmony of the whole body of believers.
Right.
And
right.
It shows us, you know, for instance, when something doesn't sound right, we say, you know, I'm not a trained theologian, but that doesn't sound quite right, you know?
yes. I mean,
the sensus fidei kind of signals there's a warning there. And so too, I like the positive way you said it though.
Yeah. So, you know, that authority that we receive by virtue of baptism, that kingly authority, is something that we are called to exercise primarily in service, humble service of each other, of non-Christians. That is the way in which our witness attains credibility, right? Is in our actions, and not just our words, right?
Mm-hmm. And taking care of others. I mean, a true king or queen or anyone with governing authority, they're judged by how well they can care for the people that are entrusted to them by their office, you know, and to think about who does God entrust to me? You know, who is God placed in my care or somewhat in my care or under my influence? You know, and how do I take care of them, especially by serving them? How can I help them as a fellow pilgrim on their way, you know, to the fullness of life in heaven?
Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Charles Schonk, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio by Father Stephen Alcott and Father Raymond Snyder. We now end with our prayer to St. Dominic. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancte Spiritus, Veni Penaria.
Dominicans proudly wear Our Lady's Rosary on their belts. The Rosary is a gospel prayer which draws us into the mystery of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. With over 135 friars in formation for the four U.S. provinces, the Dominicans are one of the fastest-growing men's religious orders in this country. This is Father Benedict Kroll from the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. Consider making a vocation weekend. Google Dominican Friars to learn more.